I'm not running to this post. Got to watch myself. Well, good morning, everyone. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't he good to us? We're just so thankful. I appreciate everyone for coming out this morning on this high holy day to honor God during Shavuot, to give him praise and honor for his goodness, and to rekindle, to renew our covenant agreement with him. That's what Shavuot's all about. There's a reason he brought us out. He brought us out for a covenant commitment. And so we're gonna go into that a little bit at the time. Before I get started, I'd like to welcome Pastor Michael and his lovely wife with us here today. We appreciate them for coming all the way from Osaka, Mississippi. We appreciate them. We know how early they had to leave. And so that we appreciate them for coming. So I'm going to have him come and address the church and share with us.
And just the saints of the Most High. It is a blessing, and I'm just thankful. And I thank Father for this relationship, for this introduction. Because actually, let me change that. I thank him for the introduction because the relationship is on us. He doesn't have to open doors, but he does. Then he waits to see what we will do once he's done his portion. So I say thank you, sir, for just being so kind. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. And go out and tell a story. Let it echo far and wide. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. How justice was our battle, how justice was denied. Make them hear you, make them hear you. Say to those who blame us for the way we choose to fight. Let them know sometimes those battles are more than black or white. I could not put down my sword, for justice was my right. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Go out and tell a story. Tell your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Tell them in our struggles we were not the only ones. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. Your sword can be your sermon or the power of a pen. Teach every child to raise their voice. Then, my brothers, sisters, then, can justice be demanded by 10 million righteous men? Oh, yes, make them hear you. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. For when they hear you, I'll be near you again. Yeah, yeah, yes. I came to say I feel near you even when I'm not here. Father has left an impression upon my heart, and I thank my wife for joining me with that heart and for just my dear brother, if you wouldn't mind, Sister Randy. Thank you, ma'am. Father always says, be prepared at least for a little something, because it's got to be order. So a little something is always the right answer. So I'm just going to say to all my brothers and sisters, Brother Joshua, Sister Nicole, Hillary, Chad, and on and on and on, Brad and Chad, hallelujah, and on and on and on, and Linda and everyone, I just want to say, you were selected. You were selected some days ago. To receive, let's just say that everybody here today got a lottery ticket to enter the kingdom of the Most High. Not only one, but all. Come one, come all. The word says he wants all his sons and daughters to come to glory. And how would I know that Randy got a lottery ticket about 50 days ago? How would I know that? Well, you know, it comes down to two things. Inheriting the kingdom, I did say it was just a lottery ticket, not the prize. So you see, I can look at your presence here and say that you received the entrance and Father said, come on in. But what you do with that ticket is on you. Deuteronomy 9:5 says, it's not for the righteousness of Israel that he selected them. But it was all about a promise. It was all about their will to seek and go forward. So therefore, getting that ticket means we got a leg up on everybody else. Father chose us to come on out from among them. And now let's see what we do with that prize. You could say that ticket, in a way, was liquid. What color you think that liquid was? Red as the crimson of the blood that drips from our Messiah. See, again, about 50 days ago, the blood drew us in. And whether or not we're covered by it depends on how we live day in and day out. We can say that it covers us and it shields us, and we can live a totally different way. We can some days be in his presence and someday shun his presence. But I say, saints, that blood has the power to cover and vanquish all impurities. It can make our sins white as snow. It was the blood that got us this far. And when Father saw our collective blood-like behavior, when he saw our actions, he's been looking at your walk. He's been listening to your talk. Father decided that to be betrothed to Emmanuel would be the next step. For Yah is with us. Yah is in us. Yah is for us wherever we go. So there's a legally binding contract that you signed on Passover night, whether you knew it or not. And you know what happens when you break a contract? Again, we don't want to find out. Because it was the blood that got us this far. And Father allowed us to use that red ink and make a vow. Today we're coming close to now bringing that vow to fruition. So saints, all you lotto ticket holders, the word says many were called, but only a few chosen. See, a lot of tickets went out, but only a few decided to come through the door on today. The overall is about being chosen to completion, not just being chosen for selection. So saints, while today is a wonderful event, just like Passover was a wonderful, wonderful, glorious event, praiseworthy, awesome to boast that we were there. Now it's a matter of, are we going to finish the race? Job 14:14 says, all our days must we wait till the change actually comes. So you see, we got to run with the blood. We got to wear the blood. We got to speak the blood. We got to claim it in the name of the blood. He died so we could have everything more abundantly. So it behooves us each to make our calling and election sure. So it comes down to three things. A life of obedience. Sincere belief that Yeshua died to wash away your sins. Not my sins. Don't worry about mine. He died for you. And then I'll worry about the fact that he prayerfully died for me. And third, not only did he die, but he rose. Hallelujah. Because the grave could not contain, hallelujah, what laid down. Because it wasn't taken from him, but he gave it up so that you and I could live, so we could be redeemed. So saints, these last 50 or so days, we've been counting the days and weeks from blood to bride, so that this wedding day would not be for the court, but that this wedding day would be for those who had chose to change. those who chose to change. He could have just made us robots, but instead he gave us that free moral agency to choose to change. So Revelation 7 and 13 says, who are these that's arrayed in this wonderful, beautiful white? This beautiful, beautiful setting here today. Because see, I may look out and see different colors in the natural, but I see white robes in the supernatural. From left to right, front and center, I see a beauty in that fine linen. And he said, these, you are those who came out of the great tribulation. You washed those robes. You rinsed out that blood, hallelujah, and you put on the righteousness of Almighty God. That white is the blood of the Lamb, having come to full fruition. So along with that robe, I see crowns on your heads. Along with that robe, I see a name that nobody can repeat on each of your forehead. And together I hear you all singing that song that no other in the carnal spirit can utter. So I circle and close and say, obedience, saints, is better than sacrifice. Obedience equals the beauty of holiness. Obedience is what our brother and savior has taught us, and obedience is how we will get over when it's all said and done. So I thank Father for choosing me to stand here with you all today, so that I could actually be in that number when he calls all of our names. But I thank him even more for not just having me think that it was just for me. But he called you, and he called you, and he called you, and you, and you, and you. He called us all to one assembly before him. For they said that there'll be a number that no man can number. And they all will stand together. Blessed is he that cometh unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. For he is holy and true. I love you all on behalf of my wife and House of Eternal Assembly of the Living Elohim. We thank Father for just again starting the introduction. But I can give you this vow today. If it be Yah's will, we will run this race together. And we will see what he had in store for us. And that being said, while today is wonderful and truly beautiful, I know all in all, the best is still yet to come. Love you all and hallelujah.
All right. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't he good?
Hallelujah.
So, wow. Was getting ready for, what's that?
So that was great.
Oh, that was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Our Father's amazing. Yes.
He's good to us. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, how's all this start?
Uh-huh.
So we're visiting COY.
Uh-huh.
Pastor Michael comes in and we meet instantly,
yeah.
Instantly upon handshake,
mm-hmm.
The Lord wooed my spirit.
Hallelujah.
He said, I want you to contact him. Aside from this setting, I want you to call him. I want you to tell him you're coming. I just want to be an encouragement to you.
Yes, sir.
And there's been no kidding. God's encouraged us in this process.
Hallelujah.
And so, of course, you know, you can't let distance stop you from obedience.
Hallelujah.
It has nothing to do with it. We sign up to do something for God. We say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And he says to do something like that. It is the same voice. When the Amish unloaded and a fellow by the name of AJ got out and he said, that's the one. That one right there. I want you to talk to him. I want you to invite him. I want you to spend time with him. Same voice. So I've learned over the years to really pay attention to the voice of the Most High. Because he's not going to ask you to do something if you quit and you don't listen.
Yes.
We have to pay attention to what he says. So today, as I was looking at today and from a distance, you know, seeing it from far off, I'd say, God, what is it that we can say? Because we've been doing these for quite some time, right? What is it that we can do? We feel like, oh, well, we put enough effort in it. Oh, does it mean something to us? You know, he says that from your house, you bring two loaves.
Yes.
So I thank God for all of you for taking some time to do that and coming, because he wants you to understand that there's something that your involvement in Shavuot, okay, is the most important thing about Shavuot. Your involvement.
Yeah.
It's like you put a wedding on and the bride don't show up.
Come on.
That would cause a stir throughout the whole audience, the families. It would cause a stir. Can you imagine you've been invited to feast with the master and you don't show? What his expectation was. When the shofar sounded and each family, one by one, come and said, I'm here. It's like the roll was called and I'm here. And so we have to, you know, having feast are not just ideas that God sets out for them to sound good.
Yes.
There are appointed times. What you will gain in the spirit today, we can't put a price on it.
Hallelujah.
We can't put a price on it. What will happen inside of you as we stand with him. So I say, you know, this year I told some of them, I said, it's a wedding.
Yes.
What do we do for a wedding? We decorate. We put on our best clothes. Last year, I think I even shared some slang type with the kids now. I said, you got to get your drip right.
Uh-huh.
You got a whole year.
Yes.
And then you got 50 days to only think about today.
Yes.
After Passover, you have 50 days to think about today. And so you've been getting ready for 50 days. You have to ask yourself, how well did I do? God set it up that you count to this day. 50 days. Every woman in the world would love to have 50 days to get ready when she's gone somewhere. I mean, it's just a thing, right? How much time I got? You got 10 minutes. 10 minutes, ain't no way. You got 10 minutes. But you got 50 days.
Yeah.
This ought to be your favorite feast. Ladies, 50 days to get ready? Who wouldn't want that? But you have to ask, how well did I do? So every year we always think about all the stuff we could have done. And that's how it ought to be. It ought to build. That anticipation ought to build, because we're not talking about something that we instituted. This is the Most High.
That's right.
He said, these are my feasts.
Uh-huh.
If they're his feasts, then somehow heaven's got to connect to our mind. Here we are on the earth. Something has to happen, and we gotta go to his word and see how his word guides us in order for us to get ready. This ought to be spectacular. This is required.
Yes.
Today's a required day. It's not an option. You don't have an option here. He requires us to present ourselves before him with two loaves.
Yes.
And now we're going to understand all of this means here in a little bit. And so I got 3 weeks in one setting to do. So, there you go, give me that 6-hour card, that's perfect. I always tell, as I communicate with God, I communicate, this is like I'm talking with you, I'm communicating with you. So I say to God, I say, God, you know, there's so much to this. And you always feel like you're behind in it, because I didn't find this out until I was in pastoring for quite some time. And how I found out about it was God, through a prophetic word, told me, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. My journey was looking into who God was, his glory. I come to realize God's glory is underived.
Yes.
Nobody gave him his glory.
Yes.
Every other glory come from him.
Yes.
I said, well, that's unique. That means there's nobody like him.
Yeah.
And I started diving in this thing. And I dove in it for several years. And I came to a conclusion. My conclusion was I had to repent. I had to fall on my face, go before the church and say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We're wrong. But God quickened my spirit. He said, now be careful, because the pendulum swing can be just as disastrous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is here for that message?
Yeah.
We took our time, because the pendulum swing can be very disastrous. And so, as the singing was started, they sang that first song about Shavuot, I couldn't help but tear up and think about how wonderful God is, that he's protected us to get us to this stage. He takes us with all our junk, all of our ideas, our ideologies. He takes us with everything. And if you listen to him, he can fix it.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going alone after your pastor for so long, it's hard to tell you to do something, because you know. But God didn't send nobody. He didn't send nobody with somebody to tell me about what we do now. He came himself.
Right.
He revealed himself to me through the study of the glory, and it changed everything about me. I couldn't see the Bible the same way. And I read through the Bible many times. I was probably pastoring 15 years when God, I started looking into the Word. I was probably 15 years in. 18 years in when Katrina hit. So, this journey, I think about this journey, and it's just incredible what God's done. I feel so honored to be a part of what he's doing today. Right. I feel honored when he takes some time. And it looks like an event's happening here.
Hallelujah.
And it should. Okay. It should. Right. And I know this don't, how many know this don't just pop up?
Yes, sir.
It takes everybody. And I appreciate everybody, because I kind of sometimes call it the last minute. Well, I think on Friday I said we're having a wedding. That's this Friday.
Right.
Who's got white flowers?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you are getting that text? But listen, when you are preparing for something and preparing, you ought to be able to put that thing together.
Yeah.
It ought to be something that you have. It's inside of you. It doesn't matter. You want to do everything you possibly can to show God that when he invites you to an appointed time,
right,
whatever he's got in store for you, you can receive that.
Yeah.
And so he gives us so I titled today's message, When Heaven Marries the Earth. When heaven married the earth. And I'm so thankful God didn't just do away with the earth. The earth, we didn't do a very good job with the earth, starting in the first beginning of this Bereshit. We didn't do a very good job with it. It was beautiful.
Yes.
It was God's creation. No flaws, nothing wrong. And he turned it over to man.
Right.
We didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
We messed up big time. That's why we have to have a Savior. But having a Savior is not an option. You have to have a Savior.
Amen.
It's not optional.
Mm-hmm.
Many say there's many different ways to God. No, there's one way. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have to understand that. So Shavuot is an appointed time where Yehovah turns deliverance into covenant. Where's deliverance? Right here. So I asked them so we can position this close to the hoopah. I wanted to have it close so I can use it this morning.
Yeah.
God has to bring this to this all together. And you're about to experience that today. This has to be brought together. Without this, you never get here. Ever. This is a journey. Your salvation is a journey. You might be justified, but you're on your way being sanctified.
Hallelujah.
And he showed that to us. And so he counted 50 days before, from deliverance, everybody say deliverance.
Deliverance.
From deliverance, he brings you to a place of covenant.
Right. Right.
Because this is all about covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Shavuot is all about you agreeing with God, says. Agreeing with him. So what do the people say? All that you said, we will do. It's what you do at weddings. You know, do you take him? Do you? Yes, we do. You've heard it before. So do you today? Do you you know, every now and then I heard them talking, they about to have their renewal of covenants. It's coming up, not far off. You know, people do that. I remember my mom and dad, when it was their 50th, when they did their renewal of the vows, mom and dad. And I got to do it. Talk about a high life for me.
Amen.
You know, when they were married, I wasn't around. Then they decided to get married again. It must be good. You get married a second time, and I got to do it. It was just a wonderful thing. Can you imagine how God felt when you stepped in that center hall today? When he started this, we wasn't around. It's because of you that this is happening. It's because of us. He says, I want you. Do you want me?
Yes.
And if we can just flow together, it'll be life-changing, not only for us, but for thousands of people. The impact. I just want to say to the pastor, you doing what you're doing in a cycle is not something God's looked over just a small look.
Yes.
It's going to affect thousands of people.
Yes.
I want you to know that.
Yes.
Thousands of people. God doesn't have us hanging out with people who's not going nowhere. We're hanging out with people who's coming up and out, and they're going to impact people's life. God did this, and so I just want to encourage you in that. It's going to affect thousands of people. Don't do small beginnings. When God's hand gets on that thing, it's explosive. Because what happens during Shavuot, we get the power to accomplish that thing. We get a dunamis power. Some things are just standing in the way. But when you got dynamite,
yes.
Come on.
They don't last very long. But we got to learn how to use it so we don't injure ourselves. And so he said, you shall receive power after the set apart spirit has come upon you. So that word power there is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. And so we want to make sure that we're using it correctly and doing what God wants us to do. Harvest unto first fruit. So this is, Shavuot is, we move from deliverance to covenant, from harvest to first fruit. Very important. Torah, we go from the Torah unto the fire, because you don't want to get into the fire without instructions. You got to get the instructions first before you get in the fire. And to redeem people into a dwelling place of his spirit.
Yeah.
So there are several things. There's no possible way, and I hope you understand, that I'm going to be able to read this entire thing when it comes to. But let me give you some foundational scripture.
Amen.
While we're here, Leviticus 23, verse 15. Let me go through this fairly quick for you. Leviticus 23, verse 15. And from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering, you shall count for yourself seven completed Sabbaths. Until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you count 50 days, then you shall bring a new grain offering to Jehovah. Bring from your dwelling for a wave offering two loaves of bread. So we bring from our dwelling two loaves of bread. So that remember when we first started this, there was no participation. Nobody knew what to do. And I said, listen, now next year, we ain't bringing Bunny. And Wanda got to stay at his house.
That's right.
We went through all the hurts and all the things. But my responsibility was, that's not what it's telling me. It didn't tell me nothing about Wonder Bread.
Yes.
And so I told the sister, I said, we had a class. What you do is you bring your best bakers in and you let them teach you. I don't know how to bake.
Come on.
But we're getting ready, right? We're getting prepared. We're preparing ourselves for it. And so, you know, I can tell you, I don't know how to bake, but if you give me 50 days, I'm pretty sure I can figure it out. God knew you wouldn't be able to. You'd come with all your insecurities, all our can'ts. We all came to the same tent with that. But he's telling you, listen, it's got to mean something to you.
Right.
You have to put in the Shavuot. If you're not putting in the Shavuot, then what are you presenting? Know you not that you are the temple of the Most High?
Yes.
We're to present our bodies as living stones. We're to present ourselves. We know that the Torah was written on stones, but then he changes that and he says, I'm going to write it on your heart. So when he writes it on our heart, we present ourselves as living stones. It's alive, it's fleshly. And we still, so you say, how can God deal with us? He deals with us by this representation. So we take these loaves. We have these loaves of bread that, amen. And, but there's leaven in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's how you came today.
That's right.
Everybody came with their leaven.
Yes.
But when you present your leavened bread to God, as long as you're making a presentation to him, he can cover the rest. There's so many representations of why this, he asked for leavened bread. We just, you know, you get out of unleavened bread and then all of a sudden you go to, when we first started, we were like kids finding new books and,
right.
And new
deal.
We're like, what does that mean? why the leaven's back in? I thought leaven was bad. Leaven bad. I mean, we went all through all the hurts, and we didn't know what to do. But then you start reading, and you figure out, you know, when you come to God and present yourself to him under a covenant promise, and you vow a vow, he can deal with your loving. You can't deal with it on your own.
Amen.
Your loving will destroy you, but when you present it before God with a little bit of set apart spirit mixed in there, it's just something about it. It gives a lot of air to it. You're able to do what God wants you to do. So we have to bring this bread. I remember when it was an option. Then we went to, you got to bring two loaves. Why don't I have to bake? I might have heard it more than you. But I'm glad that everybody helped each other.
Amen.
Because nobody calls about, I don't know how to bake no more. It's just a part of you. You get your flour. And if you don't know how to measure flour, you was measuring flour 50 days. You count the omer. You study the omer. It's a measurement of grain. So you've been kind of figuring it out all this time. So there's no excuse that you're not ready for Shavuot. And why does God have to be so demanding on that? Because this is serious business. When you stand underneath the hoopah and you sign the ketubah, it's got to be serious to you. You know, you get married, you're not everybody's there. You're not saying, they'll never last. I don't know why they spent all that money. They're going to be divorced in a week. That's not your thought process. You're there to enjoy their enjoyment. They spent a lot of money. Some people spend a lot of money. You know, this event's got to mean something. And you get to go and, you know, there's food, there's music. It's the whole thing. We do something for God and we get clenched up. Like, God don't want that. Well, if he didn't want it, why did he put it this way? Why did he describe it this way? Why he describes it as a wedding? Why did he describe it as a time of covenant vow exchange? Why does he do that? Because it means something to him. And it means so much to him that what he did before you got here, he sent his lamb to die for you, to deliver you, and then bring you 50 days later to a place of covenant. So let me tell you, it does mean something to God. It means a lot to him.
Yeah.
And so we bring these loaves of bread, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour. They are baked with leaven, a first fruit to Yehovah. First fruit. And beside the bread you shall bring 7 lambs, a year old, perfect ones, 1 young bull and 2 rams. And they are sending offerings to Yehovah with the grain offering and their drink offering, made by fire for a sweet fragrance to Yehovah. And you shall offer 1 male goat as a sin offering, 2 male lambs a year old as a slaughter of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them beside the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering before Yehovah. Besides the 2 lambs, they are set apart to Yehovah for the priest. And on the same day you shall proclaim a set apart gathering for yourself. You do no servile work on it, a law forever, and all your dwelling throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, do not completely reap the corners of the fields.
Yes.
This is part of Shavuot. Why is it part of Shavuot? Because we're going to need this when we get to Ruth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So God's in Leviticus, he's preparing for Ruth already.
Mm-hmm.
That's how God operates. He don't wait for Ruth's problem to come. He fixes a problem before she gets there. Because if he don't have corn is available for those who don't have the field, then how she ever meets her Boaz?
Yes, sir.
And how do we have Obed, who has Jesse, who has David, of the line of Yeshua? How does that happen? It happens because instead of stopping at verse 21, we read verse 22. We read the whole text here. The whole text of Shavuot is not at 21. And I see this a lot. I see this. It happens a lot on the internet. Everybody stops at 21 for Shavuot text. 22 says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, do not completely reap the corners of your fields when you reap, and do not gather any gleanings from your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Yehovah Yahweh. You know who's the poor and the strangers? When we showed up.
Hallelujah.
We all showed up with no inheritance, with no field.
Yes,
thank God he wasn't just doing you, he was doing you and I.
Hallelujah.
We showed up with nothing. We had nothing. But you know what he did? He invited us in, but we don't get to tell God how he's going to run things.
That's right.
You notice Ruth never told Naomi what she needed to do. She says, your God is going to be my God.
Yeah.
Your people is going to be my people. She didn't say, Naomi, you know, I don't mind sticking around, but you're going to have to come, you have to become a real Moabitish for me. That's what we want to do. The church wants to come in and we want to start shifting things. What if we don't shift nothing? What if we just let God say what he says? What if we align ourselves with him rather than him trying to align with our ideas? What if that happened? So naturally, when I took that shift, people knew how I was. We're going to go with God on this. That's what we're doing. We're going to preach the word of God. Whatever it says, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to try to add to it. We're going to do what the word says. Well, that's going to make a major change.
Right.
And not everybody's going to see it.
Right.
You can't help it. But just because everybody don't see it don't mean you quit doing it.
Right.
You got to stay faithful to what God has called you to do. So we've seen that happen. So that verse 22 is key because that leads us to other messages and passages that we can look at.
Right.
Now in Exodus 19, verse 16, it says, and it came to be on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And a voice of the shofar was very strong. And all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. I mean, thank God that we were able to come and stand at the foot of the mountain this morning. We come to meet him.
Right.
Whose wedding are you going to? It's your wedding.
Yes.
It's your wedding. You come to meet him. Can you imagine that? And Mount Sinai was in smoke, and all of it because Jehovah descended upon it in fire. And his smoke went up like a smoke of a furnace, and all the mountain trembled exceedingly. And when the voice of the shofar sounded, long and became very strong, Moshe spoke and Elohim answered him by voice. This was not some feeling they were having. This was direct contact. He spoke to them by voice. Very important. Valuable that we understand that. And Elohim answered him. And Moshe spoke and Elohim answered him by voice. And Yehovah came upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and Yehovah called Moshe to the top of the mountain, and Moshe went up. How many see that this encounter was life-changing?
Yes.
And then when I was studying the glory, I came across this. Because this is he's having all these encounters, but then we find Moshe later on saying, God, show me your glory. And that's one of the main texts that I was looking at when I was studying in the glory. And I found out, I was like, how can a man have this encounter? What is it that he's still looking for? That he's asking God to show him the glory. What is he missing? What is there about God that Moshe knows that he's interested in?
Yeah.
And I had to marry that part. I had to really, for years, I married that. And I said, God, I need to know this. I need it to become real to me. I need to see this for myself. You can't. There's some things you can't be told. You might be able to be led to a direction, but God has to reveal Himself to you.
Yeah.
And what He does is changes your life. And you're not trying to go off of what somebody else said. You know it was an encounter that you had. So I began to pray for those encounters. That would be like, because, you know, here I am, I'm coming in this thing completely dark. I never knew that God gave His name 6,827 times under Yud Heh Vav Heh, the Tetragrammaton. I never knew that.
Yes.
Now, here I'm pastoring 15, 16 years, and I didn't know that.
Hallelujah. Come on.
If God gave His name 6,827 times, we ought to know it.
Yes, sir.
We ought to be familiar with it.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't Lord.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
That's right.
When I was studying the Bible as a young pastor, I always just see these little things in the Bible when I was reading it. Didn't matter what translation. I'm not going to pick on any translation. Didn't matter which one. You'd see Lord all capitalized, sometimes lowercase, and it just fluctuated back and forth. And so you didn't know what Lord you was talking to.
Yes.
As you was reading. I saw that as a young man. But I said, well, every generation before me, they've got through it. I guess I'll get through it. That was my thoughts. But then God changed that. Because I was praying. I was in here praying. Remember, the church was different. Platform was there. Nice, beautiful balcony. All cypress wood, stained cypress wood in here. Beautiful. Just got finished with it. Decorated aisles, seats, everything perfect. And so we finally built our building. We're moving along. He's moving, right? And all of a sudden, this storm comes and destroys it.
Yes.
We moved in officially in 2004, and it was gone in 2005.
Hallelujah.
I shouldn't say gone because we're in it still. But it was in bad shape.
Yes.
I mean, it was needing prayer. So, I'm praying and saying, God, there's something we're missing here. We're missing something. He reminded me that in 2001, I told you, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. You'll preach like a man from another world. Your eyes will shoot fire. Your revelation levels will increase. That's what I told you. Now, you do whatever you want. You can hang it wherever you want. You can put it wherever you want. You can forget it. Whatever you want to do, that's what I told you. Then I pulled that prophecy back out. I transcribed it off the video, and I put it on my refrigerator, and I look at it every day, every day. And I said, I read it, I'm doing that, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this. Okay, I got to start doing something here. Or God can say whatever He wants. Listen, you say, I never did get a prophecy. Really?
Mm-hmm.
He gave all of us a prophecy.
Yeah.
What you do with it matters. Which, when you read it, how do you interact with it? What do you do when it's time for you to move when God says something? And so once I started doing that, He opened up my whole world. I saw things in the Bible I never knew existed. I saw that God has feast days.
Yes.
I remember telling the first pastor I told that to, oh yeah, we've been knowing that, but we don't do that.
That's right.
I'm like, okay. Why?
Come on.
He's my elder.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I want to know. Well, we just don't. Okay, that wasn't an answer for me. I'm going home and I'm shaking my head. That's not an answer.
Right.
We don't. It's not an answer. I want to know why. Where did he? If he changed it, you showed me the scripture where he changed it. We won't do it. But we got to get after this thing. So I come to service with a double barrel shotgun, loaded with extra bullets.
Yes.
And I'm going to give it to him, God. It's going to happen today. And God said, you better pick that gun up. You're not only going to destroy them, you're going to hurt yourself. I know you want to do it, but I'm going to show you how.
Yes.
One little piece at a time.
Yes.
One little step at a time. You may not get it all in, and you may not even say it all correctly, but I'm going to give you time to fix it.
Amen.
One step at a time.
Hallelujah.
And I am so grateful we are where we are. I can't even describe how grateful and thankful I am that God's so good to us.
Hallelujah.
So mindful of us. Because
yes.
He wants us to experience what He did.
Yes.
He delivered me, but then He covenanted me. If you can't use that as gospel, I don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have a model for it, then maybe you made your own model up. Because the Bible is written with models. It does it, stops it, and then reduplicates it at another time and it matches. So when our Mashiach came, He didn't ride in Jerusalem on the fourth month. He's got to follow the model. He's not the right Messiah.
Hallelujah.
And we know that. Now that we've been stuck, we know that He's got to come in the first month.
He's got to.
He's got to. And He's got to be on the 10th day.
Got to.
And they're going to take Him on the 4th day.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
This is our deliverance. It ought to matter to us. This is stuff we need to know.
Yes.
Because He's trying to get us ready 50 days later for our deliverance. You, our covenant time. He delivers us, then He brings us to covenant. Very important. Now, Acts chapter 2. I'm just giving you these. This is just foundational stuff for us. Acts 2. Now, in my pastoring, I didn't know the term Shavuot.
Yes.
I didn't have a clue that that was even a thing. I knew Pentecost.
Yes.
And man, we know how to put Pentecost on when I was growing up.
Yes.
We could tear it up. I mean, we tear this whole thing down in Pentecost. I mean, there'd be bread flying, flowers flying. It just felt good. We didn't know where it fit. We didn't know where to, you know, we had this puzzle, and we never could see the picture, but it felt good. Some people feel good because they got some pieces jammed in. My sister Dawn, she's our puzzle queen. She knows how to do puzzles. I remember when I was a kid, mama gets puzzles. I get frustrated with the puzzles. I said, well, this one, I'll make this fit.
Uh-huh.
I'm making this fit. Boom, push down on real hard. Well, my picture wasn't right. That's what people's done over the years. They've pushed down on the word to make their picture, but their picture's wrong. The picture don't match anything. God says something here, and the picture says something over here. And it looks like God's confused. But when it flows, the picture's perfect.
That's right.
It's all perfect. And so I didn't know nothing about Shavuot until I found out on my own. On my own, I had to start finding this out. Because I was very fortunate to be delivered from university.
Yes.
I counted not a misfortune. Fortunate not to be in university, because it would have been way harder to undo my brain. So I joined in the university of the Set Apart Spirit and put this nose in carpet and say, God, if you don't show me, I'll never know. I'm going to spend my entire life ministering the word, and I'll never know unless you show me. So I'm not giving you secondhand information. I'm giving you what I teared over and believe God that you'd open up my understanding. And I never forget the first time I come here to church and I said, well, it's not Pentecost no more. It's Shavuot. Shavuot. What? And for weeks, people couldn't pronounce it.
Yes, sir.
Shavuot, Shavuot. I mean, it was all over the place.
Yes, sir.
But we crawled our way. We said, okay, we don't mind. We don't mind going back to first grade. God, we thank you for first grade. We don't mind learning our vocabulary. Oh, we thank you for that. And we started letting God do what He did. He took us by the hand and He led us. But Acts 2 says, when the day of the festival of Shavuot had come, they were all with one mind in one place.
Hallelujah.
One mind in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues out of fire and settled on each one of them, and they were all filled with the set apart spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yeah.
Gave them to speak. And it was, you know, years in the ministry, and you find out there's an event tomorrow. The model had already taken place at the mountain.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And in the model, I did a message here. And I compared the two. I showed you the comparison. In the model, when Moshe came off the mountain with the tablets, with the word, the 10 words, he came off the mountain.
Yes.
They had made a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
Just that fast.
Yes.
We don't know what happened to Moshe. He's gone. He went up and he didn't come back. He's dead. They call on Aaron. Aaron, get the golden earrings. Let's make a golden calf. And they made a golden calf. And they said, Aaron said, this will be a festival to Yehovah.
Yes. Claim.
Just because Aaron was a spokesperson, he had no authority to make any festival.
Hallelujah.
And God said, I'm going to show you what you just did, how wrong it is. So Moses comes down off the mountain. And he says, listen, if you want to stay around your calf, you can stay. If you want to move away, because God's about to judge this.
Sure.
And so in the model, when he's making the model or the example, he's got to have swift justice has to happen.
Yeah.
It seems like justice is lingered in our society.
Yeah.
It seems like it never gets, there's no justice anymore. But let me tell you, God's going to fix it all. It's all going to come right. But when it's the model, he has to fix it immediately. And so that day, at that first Shavuot, 3,000 souls died.
Yes.
But in this Acts account, 3,000 souls came to covenant.
Right.
From deliverance to covenant. Right. And so he's trying to show us that there's a model, and then when something happens like Acts 2, it ought to match the model. If it don't fool with it.
Hallelujah.
That's all through the Bible. That's how the Bible is written. The Bible is written that way. And so we've been talking about that in our study through Bereshit. We took that study on. It took us just about 2.5 years.
Yes.
Verse by verse.
Right.
You can't do it quicker.
No.
And not get it all in. We still don't have it all in.
Right.
But we tried to go verse by verse, line upon line,
right,
here, there, and there. And we tried to take our time with it. Well, we see that the entire Bereshit is about models. It's examples of how God deals with covenant, promises, covenant. And so we see that in Acts, he brings this to understanding for the people. In the first model, the presence of the Most High was at the mountain. In Acts, the presence of God was at the people.
Right.
The people with the mountain.
Yeah.
Ministered to them. We still have all the symbols as voices, sounds, fire, wind, all that's there in the Acts account.
Right.
So now what the church world did, they took that one clipping of Acts 2 and they made what I describe as centralized, organized, should I say it?
Yes.
Idolatry.
Come on.
Some say religion there.
Because
It's nice. Religion is nice. But if you want to know how God looks at it, it's centralized, organized idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a section out and making something out of it that's just that. No model. You can do whatever you want to it. You can paint it different. You can do it on a different day, different time. You can add to it. You can do whatever you want because there's nothing to compare it to. That's why we go with God. If we follow his blueprints, you can't go in error. You're going to wind up where you need to get. You remember the story of the singing family that goes out to the Carolinas to sing? Well-known singing family. They go out and they're singing. And they're going to go to this island and minister to people. They get to the landing, and there's a boat waiting for them. The mail boat's going to bring the equipment and the family out to the island. And so they get there, they unload out their bus, they put their speakers on the boat. The old captain cranks the engine, and they head out to that island. They're going out there, and all of a sudden, the engine shuts down. Captain says to the people on the boat, he says, I don't know where we are. to say what we say is, if you don't know where we are, I sure don't know where we are. We ain't no boatmen. We sailors. There's consternation. I mean, everybody's nervous. So what he does, he reaches up and he grabs the charts. Now, if you're all the captains in here, we're familiar with this terminology. Okay. It's not maps.
That's right.
It's charts in navigation school.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get your chart. You don't know what, you know, you get your chart. When you was in school, they might hear you along Island Sound. They don't care if you've never been there.
Right.
It's a chart. It's like you've been there when you studied the chart. You know the depth, you know everything. If you know how to study a chart, you know everything about Long Island Sound, even though you've never been there. That's how they test you, to see how well you can read the chart. So now I'm going to give you Venice, Louisiana. Of course you'd pass that. You grew up there. You know everything about that. They're not giving you that. That don't tell them you know how to read the chart. You might get Chesapeake Bay. That's a tough one. You got to practice on all of them. Right, when you're in capital school, you have to practice. And so I remember practicing all these charts, and I'm like, wow, you got to know everything. Yeah, because you got people's lives in your hand, and if the lights go out, and the water shuts down, everything, you better figure out where you are. You got to call Coast Guard, you got to tell them where you are. And you got to be able to pinpoint a location. You got to be able to give them the low-range region where you are. Whereas you got to study to do that. You got to know how about set and drift, all those things. You got to take into consideration. And so, this captain pulls the charts out, gets the charts out, and there he is. He's looking at the charts, and the people are just watching him. And he's doing stuff, all of a sudden, he says, I know what it is. What happened, they had those big old speakers. Years ago, the speakers were huge. Because they had a magnet about the size of your head. They backed their speakers up to the cabin of the boat, and they got too close to the compass. Compass went squirrely. That's what happened. You put a magnet by a compass, it's going all over the place. Well, he got off course because his compass wasn't working. So now he don't know where he's at. Then he figured out, man, I've been running this route all my life, and I don't know where I'm at. You know, salty captain, he knows where he's at. He ain't buying it, and something's wrong. He said, we got to move those speakers.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is, you got to watch what speakers you're following.
Hallelujah.
Because they'll lead you in the wrong direction. Once they moved their speakers, the compass was working, they went straight to the island. Family got, this is a true story. So we have to be careful. You want to make sure you're following a speaker who's not afraid to admit when he's lost.
Hallelujah.
And pull the chart back out.
Yes.
And navigate the chart and say, well, where are we? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? Navigate the chart. When you do that, it changes everything about you. So if you want to know how we got here, this is how we got here.
Right.
We had to pull the chart back out.
Yeah.
We had to navigate a little bit and get down to it. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the dwelling place of Elohim and that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? Passover brings Israel out of Egypt. But Shavuot reveals why you were brought out. Why were you brought out?
Hallelujah.
That's what Shavuot reveals.
Uh-huh.
Passover brought us out of Egypt, but Shavuot tells you why you were brought out. Because you weren't brought out just to be free.
Yes.
There's a reason he brought you out. He brought you to Shavuot, tells us why. So how many of you know why?
Man.
To become a kingdom of priests, a set apart nation, and a bride carrying the voice and presence of Elohim into the earth. This is why we got here. There's a reason we got here. The reason is to become a kingdom of priests, a set apart nation, a bride carrying the voice and presence of Elohim into the earth. We have a responsibility. That's why every time I get a chance to preach anywhere, it doesn't matter. I go into churches sometimes, they don't have a clue what we're talking about. Well, I got to figure out by the set apart spirit how I ease them in.
Yes.
I have a responsibility. And sometimes I ease them in a little too hard, I'll never get it right back. But that's okay. But that time I had, I gave everything I could at that time.
Yes.
I've seen this happen. But sometimes, you never know. God will open up doors, and he'll open up doors. One thing I do know, That our ministry here is a ministry to ministries.
Yes.
And it's going to impact many ministries' lives. That's why it's so important that Goshenland is fully established. Because it's going to be a learning center for whole ministries.
Yes.
Not just folks coming in. Whole ministry team coming in and say, show us the way. Show us what God says. And we'll be able to sit down and minister the word of God. That's why it's important that we keep it together and do what God called us to do. Several things that I wrote down here that I want to point out to you. Israel is freed by the blood and power. And what we see is the armor prepares Israel. Israel counts journey and is formed between Egypt and Sinai. So they leave Egypt, and the counting of the armor, it starts to form them. So what happens during the baking of bread? You take the grain, and it's just raw grain.
Yeah.
And then you roast the grain. It's introduced to the fire. And then you crush the grain. It's nothing fun about it. You crush the grain. And then you have to sift it. You have to do all these things. Then you have to start bringing the products. You're adding to it. You're mixing water. And you start to get the flour base. Then you knead it. Mm-hmm. And you're stretching it. You're pounding on it. You're turning it over. You're making that ball. And then you put it in the oven and you add it to more heat.
Yes.
So this is... To get us here, that process has to happen. Before you can come with two loaves, that process had to happen for everybody here. And you and I, it has to happen. Now you still come with your leaven. Mm-hmm. That's something that's hard to get, it's hard for us to get over. But when you present yourself to him, he takes care of that. Amen. There's some things you can't do. You can only make adjustments in your life to the best of your ability, but you don't sanctify you. He does.
Hallelujah.
He not only justifies us, but he sanctifies us. And he said, when you present yourself, I'll take it from there. And it's just something about it. You know that maybe you had a week where you said something that wasn't correct. Mm-hmm. You said it in an angry way. Uh-huh. Yet, you present yourself to God, what he does. He wipes that away from your mind so you're not having it in your forefront, and allows you to minister the word, or allows you to pray, allows you to minister to people, because that's being sanctified. And we see that happen all the time. Shiloh covenant, Israel receives the Torah identity, called in the priestly purpose. That's what we do. So we know that Israel received its identity at the mountain.
Yes.
Because what happens... All you're used to is what you used to do in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Carrying bricks and heavy loads. Pastor Josh brought us that word. Mm-hmm. That's what you're used to. Carrying bricks and heavy loads is just constant. But then he delivers you from that, frees you from that. But the whole journey to the mountain, you still got that on your mind. Yeah. Remember, what did he have to do? He had to bring him to Gilgal to roll the reproach back.
Yeah.
Because they were going to go into the promised land still carrying that Egypt mentality. How can you go into a new season of your life unless you let God come in and free you from that? This is why Shavuot is so important. You come in and say, God, all my insecurities, all the things that I have, I come before you and I pour them out at Shavuot and I renew my covenant commitment to you. I vow to vow to you. And I say, God, I want to serve you with everything that's in me. Because until you get to Gilgal, and he rolls back the reproach, you have to understand you're still dealing with it.
Yes.
They were dealing with it. But before he sent him to conquer Jericho, he got rid of that. Now, it took a while for all that to happen. A long time for that to happen. But they had the spirit power, the anointing of God's promise that it would happen. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Before he got to Gilgal and he rolled the reproach away.
Hallelujah.
But they were ready for their Jericho. How many of you know we're about to have a Jericho moment?
Hallelujah.
But you can't get there as long as the reproach is there. It's got to be rolled away. It's got to be gone. And he wants to do that for us. So how many know that this is important stuff? Amen. Now, Ruth is commonly read during Shavuot or studied. Ruth reveals the harvest mystery. This harvest mystery. So Ruth, the story of Ruth is basically Shavuot in story form. So if you want to understand Shavuot more deeply, study Ruth very extensively. I mean, spend time in there. Because it's in story form. The book of Ruth is in story form of what Shavuot really means and what God wants you to get out. It's the outsider is brought near by covenant. Where was Ruth? An outsider, but she's brought near by covenant. You and I are outsiders. We're brought near by covenant. So we can't use what family we're born in, what area we're born in. Doesn't matter what side of the track you was born. None of that matters. You can have Shavuot. Once you've been delivered by the blood of Messiah and you've taken that 50-day journey, there's nobody that can't have this covenant commitment if they want it.
Hallelujah.
Nothing can stop you. Your past can't stop it. Your mistakes can't stop it. Your insecurities can't stop it. Because the blood is that powerful. And we was given such an exhortation this morning that showed that.
That's right.
It showed that. As Pastor Michael gave the exhortation to us. It showed the blood is a powerful thing.
Hallelujah.
It goes from red to white.
Come on. Yes.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Come on. My pastor used to say this all the time. He said, you know, God don't play. He quit school because they had recess.
That's right.
Took me a while to get what he was saying there. I was like, what are you talking about? So the outside is brought near by covenant, love, and redeemed unto the Davidic line. That's Ruth's account. At Passover, Israel was delivered from Egypt. Exodus 12:1-14. At Shavuot, Israel discovered her identity. Exodus 19:4-6. At Passover, the lamb's blood marked the house. The lamb's blood marked the house at Passover. At Shavuot, the voice of Elohim marked the nation. The voice of Elohim marks the nation at Shavuot. Remember, it's the word kol. And when the voices are thunders, and we you know, thunders is put there, but it's kolot.
Yes.
And I didn't cover the name section of this. Every important name, it's all listed in the study. But, you know, we know some of these things, that when his voice speaks, it matters. And it was so powerful at Mount Sinai, it penetrated every fiber of their being.
Yes.
There was no sensor in the human body that didn't feel or hear the voice of the Most High when he spoke. It penetrated every fiber of their being. Every cell heard that it was the Most High God, the Creator.
Yes.
That's why they said, stop, we can't hear anymore. We're going to die. Because he was jumping over all the insecurities, all the I can't do this, I can't do. He wasn't paying attention to that. This is what he was saying. He was speaking the word, and it was lighting him on fire. Nothing could stop when God spoke. It marked the nation. At Passover, Jehovah judges the gods of Egypt. At Shavuot, he reveals that Israel was called to become a kingdom of priests and a set apart nation. At Shavuot, it was revealed that there would be a set-apart nation. Now, it was some promises made. God was honoring the promises that he made to Abraham. By what? Covenant. When the day of Shavuot had fully come in Acts 2, heaven repeated the pattern. I want to say it again. Heaven's repeating the pattern. If there's no pattern, then you gotta look at it careful. If there's no pattern, why are we doing it?
Hallelujah.
You know, we can name holidays that we participated in before. There's no pattern. And so if you're looking for how do we know, there's your how do you know.
Yes, sir.
It's got a pattern to it, and we see that in the text. I want to give you a couple quotes here that I highlighted. Shavuot answers the question, why are we delivered? The answer is covenant. Set apartness, priesthood, witness, and dwelling presence of Elohim. Many people want Passover power without Shavuot purpose. Many people want Passover power without Shavuot purpose.
Yes.
The purpose is when you got to kick it in gear. When you got to be a participant.
Yes. Come on.
Your deliverance through what Yeshua did on the cross is done for you. Your deliverance. But Shavuot is the purpose. Now I have to participate.
Yes. Come on.
And so one of the ways that God helps us as ministers teach our people on participation is we say, you know what? Get some time, take some time, get you some flour, get you whatever you do, however you make it, get your what is it called? The yeast. I'm so unskilled at baking, but I bake them.
Yes.
Yeast, get your sugar, your salt, get your water, you put it all there, you turn it, and then you let it set for an hour, you come back and turn it again, and then you put it in the oven, and if everything was right, in 45 minutes or so, you come back, and you put a lid, and there it is.
Yes.
That's how mine turned out. Yeah. And so I come to the conclusion, it's going to be what it is.
Uh-huh.
It might be this high. It might be that high. But it's going to be good. You put enough butter on anything, I mean, you can make it happy. So, I'm not winning no bacon prize. I'm looking for just get it done. Now, some of you, I'm looking at this butter here. Some of you, this stuff ought to be in a glass window being sold at the store.
Amen.
I mean, Rouse's could be selling this stuff.
Uh-huh.
They want deliverance from Pharaoh, but they do not want to stand on the mountain of covenant.
Yeah.
But once this happens, this is a count. This is inevitable.
Yeah.
You better get to it because this is coming. It's a requirement. He requires covenant vow.
Yes.
He requires covenant vow. So you come to God. Most people have a failed success. Their success level of and failure is happens in between the deliverance and the vow.
Yes,
that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard this said before. We were doing good till we got married.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
And some people, that's what they want. They just want to live in God doing everything.
Hallelujah.
Just let God do it. I don't want no problems.
Uh-huh.
But he tells you, the Shabbat following, you count seven Shabbats.
Yes.
And the day after that seven Shabbat, that's 49 days, 50th day, is the time that you now have to go into covenant vow.
Yes.
And so is it important that we're here today to be reminded of this? Absolutely. And if you don't do this as a memorial to remind yourself, you forget it.
Yes.
Before you know it, it's not a thing to you. So God institutes these things on purpose that yearly we remind ourselves of the importance of us taking some time to make a covenant with him. We want the Red Sea to open, but we do not want the voice of Elohim to define them. Who defined Israel? Amen. He defined Israel at the mountain, Mount Sinai, by his own voice.
Hallelujah.
He was telling them what he loves and what he hates.
Hallelujah.
His likes and his dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to obey. And they answered, "We will do."
Yes.
Now we know that that was a real shallow way to get off, to pass it on to somebody else. Let Moshe go talk to him. They immediately instituted, "We want a mediator."
Yes.
So God took it to, if that's what you want, I'll send you a mediator. I'm going to send my only son.
Hallelujah.
He's going to be able to put a hand on your shoulder and a hand on my shoulder, and you'll have no excuse.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we have. We have Yeshua who puts a hand on my shoulder and a hand on his father's shoulder. There's no excuse.
Amen.
So if I blow this thing, I'll pay dearly, because everything I needed to have success serving him was given to me. Jehovah never redeems without purpose. Jehovah never redeems without purpose. He told Pharaoh, "Let my people go so they may serve me."
Yes.
He wasn't just freeing them to be free. You know, we're free. And people take grace kind of as that. I got grace. I can do whatever I want. But the question was asked, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And the answer, God forbid. He forbids that. Why does that happen in the text? Because he knows that's how we are. Our tendency is to lean toward to get away with what we can get away with. You know, that's our tendency. In the human spirit, the tendency is to get away with whatever you can get away with. But when you're talking about a covenant, you know, you don't get married. Me and my wife is going to be celebrating our 40th year. I got to look at her because she knows the numbers. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbers. 41 years anniversary.
Hallelujah.
40 years here at church.
Whoa.
That's going to be in January, 40 years here.
Praise Almighty.
In January, 41 years married. So, we got married. We understand covenant vows. We don't have an open marriage. Nor should we have an open relationship with God. Like, well, I'm here today, and I'm over here, and we're all over the place.
Yes.
So she knows that I'm her husband. She's not looking for advice from another man.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes.
Nor am I looking for a hug or a kiss or comfort from another woman.
Yes.
We understand that. Mm-hmm. In serving God, that has to be the same thing. He's the one speaking for you. You're not listening to your speakers that's backed up to the compass. Going all over the place.
Yeah.
The issue is we've been sold a bill of goods, and we all bought it, and God said, "I'm going to wake you up and fix this for you."
Yeah.
Now I want you to understand, here's what I said, do what I'm telling you. And so when we do that, we're going to see that his promises are true. What he declares is right. And you have victory. So Jehovah never redeems without purpose. He told Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they may serve me." Their purpose is, the reason is to serve him. He's not going to free you from one master and you have no master now. How many know we have a master?
Hallelujah.
Our master is Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
He's our master. And we ought to pay attention to what, if you just pay attention to what your master said.
Hallelujah.
If you just listen to what the master said. He said, "Don't think that I'll come to destroy the law of the prophets."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just listen to your master. He's telling you what to do. But when you're listening to what other people have tainted and twisted and moved the word of God all around, pushed the puzzle together the way, and they got no picture, then thank God he comes and rescue you. Amen?
Amen.
He's good to us. Freedom was never the absence of a master. Freedom was the exchange of masters.
Hallelujah.
Israel was delivered from Pharaoh so she could belong to Jehovah.
Yes.
Belong. When you belong to somebody, you're not looking for somebody else.
Right.
I belong to Miss Charlotte. Miss Charlotte belongs to me.
Yes.
I'm not looking for somebody else.
Yes.
There's nobody, like my granddaughter says, that's cuter than her.
That's
right. All right. She told me the other day, she said, Papa, you're so cute. I said, come here, my baby. I know you right. I know the Lord's got anointing on your life. Come prophesy to your papa. So I told Charlotte, I said, that's what Sarah told me. She said, yeah, you just telling me that. I said, I'm telling you. She said it. When the first time she said my name, she called me Poppy. The first time she did it, I knew nobody would believe it, so I recorded her. I took my phone out and I said, say it again, but she said it. It kept saying like a song. And I prayed for Hannah. She said, there ain't no way. She said, Papa before Daddy, for Mama, for Tootsie, Lottie, and I was proud to hear it. This matter be... The mountain becomes a canopy. The Torah becomes a covenant document. Israel stands beneath the mountain like a bride beneath the huppah. Yehovah speaks not as a distant lawgiver only, but as a covenant bridegroom. Jeremiah 2, verse 2. Hosea 2, verse 19 and 20. It's on our banner. I will betroth you to me forever.
Hallelujah.
That's right. How many know that God is a forever God?
Yes.
We get a little squirrely sometimes with commitment, but he's never squirrely.
Never.
He's committed. This matters because commandment without covenant becomes a burden.
Yeah.
This matters because commandment without covenant is just a burden. So he don't just give you a bunch of things he wants you to do without covenant.
Yes.
By without saying what he's going to do. He takes you as his bride. He takes you underneath his wing. He takes you in. He protects you, watches over you. It's a gift. He's giving and you're giving. Commandments without covenant becomes a burden. And he never wants to burden us down with just a bunch of commands.
No.
But when you first come into this walk, that's all it looks like is just commands. Because
yes.
We're so unfamiliar with them. Even though we read the Bible, preach the Bible all those years, we're unfamiliar with God's commands.
Hallelujah.
Even Yeshua had to deal with this when he came. Because they were teaching the commandments of men as this is what you need to do. So he dealt with that. But we have to understand God has commands, but they come with covenant. They come with promise. But commandments inside covenant become what? A vow. So what do we do in weddings? We vow to vow. The Torah is not a cold demand of an insecure deity. I don't know, God is not, there's insecurity in God. He's not trying to give the Torah as a cold demand. It is the revealed order of life with the set apart one. Remember, he's the giver of life, and he reveals the order of life. You're better for it that you've come to Shavuot this morning than you would have if you'd have just passed it up and said, oh, it's not for me.
Amen.
You're better for it.
Thank you.
You're going to be a better husband, a better wife, a better church family member because of Shavuot. Because you understand the seriousness of commitment and walking in this the way God wants you to. At Sinai, Yehovah says in essence, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Exodus 19:4. Before he says, obey, he says, I carried you. Before he said obey, he said, I carried you. That has to be settling for you. Before he demands us to be obedient, he carries us. Where did he carry? Where's the pattern? He carried them from Pesach all the way to the mountain. He carried them.
Yes.
Remember, when he gives the manna, he's feeding them. He's taking care of them. Where did he get the water from? He provided the water. The food and the drink came from him. He was carrying them. So should we be committed? And we see in the life of the children of Israel, an uncommitted, unstable, complaining life, constantly having this go on. Year after year after year. If you're still fighting last year's issues, you're not getting what Shavuot was talking about. You got to have a victory at some point. You can't have the same issues, the same shortcomings. You have to have victory in this. So when you come to Shavuot, you say, God, I'm releasing all to you. I stand under the hoopah and I make a vow to you. God, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And whatever's been bothering you, you got to release that. You got to let him come in and fix it, because that's what he does. Amen. Before he gives command, he gives covenant mercy. And the order matters. Grace brings them out. Covenant teaches them how to live near him. We need to know how to live near him. Yes. We don't know what he likes. We're just doing whatever we want. That is the same order in Yeshua. We are not saved by obedience, but we are saved unto covenant faithfulness. Yes. In that, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, not obedience that we're saved, but we're saved through covenant faithfulness. We are not redeemed because we perform. We are redeemed because the Lamb was slain.
Yes.
The Lamb was slain is how they were delivered. Without the Lamb dying, there's no deliverance in Egypt. None at all. Because they have nothing to cover themselves with. There's nothing. So without this Lamb dying, there's no blood to cover them. There's no. They're going to suffer the consequences.
Yes.
So we see that. We see this plainly. That God is doing everything possible to help us walk this out. We are redeemed because the Lamb was slain. That's John 1:29, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, Revelation 5, 9. But once redeemed, the Spirit begins to form the bride in the way of the bridegroom. Once we're redeemed, how many know we gotta be dressed?
Yes.
There's some stuff gonna come off of us. We've been redeemed.
Right. Yes.
I've been redeemed from Egypt. I shouldn't be acting like Egypt. We know it took them a long time to roll that reproach away. Long time.
Yes.
But we have to understand, you're not going to come in this thing and just you have everything perfect.
Right.
You're going to have some bad days.
Yes.
But if you have a covenant agreement with God, you're not going to let your bad day just say, this is my bad, I'm out of here, I'm gone. Right. That's what people do. Yes. There's no commitment in the house of God anymore. We have to commit ourselves.
Hallelujah.
This is what Shavuot is about. You're making a commitment.
Yes.
Why? Because Shavuot is an invasion of set apartness. Heaven comes down and earth cannot remain casual.
Yes.
That's what happens. Why? Because Shavuot is an invasion of set apartness.
Yes.
It ought to look spectacular.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do better next year. That's got to be on your mind, because it ought to be spectacular. Because you're having an invasion of set apartness. Heaven comes down and the earth can't remain casual.
Yes.
We got to get out this casual mentality where it don't matter. It does matter to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes. You ever see how God paints pictures in the scripture? Mm-hmm. He goes all out. I mean, you talk about somebody who can decorate the skies, the heavens, mm-hmm. the earth. He can do it the best that there is.
Right.
So, but we got this casual mentality that it doesn't matter. It matters to him.
Yes.
You know, I always said this. I say, God, you know, when I was doing what I was doing before, sometimes you went in debt to do it.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes, yes, sir.
Your credit cards were maxed to the top.
Uh-huh. Come on.
We come to do something for God that He's ours. We're afraid to spend anything.
Come on.
We ought to be doing everything we possibly can to make sure that it's spectacular. Because this is what he designed. It's his design.
Hallelujah.
And so sometimes people say, well, you don't have to have all. It's true, you don't have to, but we're glad to do it.
Yes, sir.
We're glad to do it. And so, you know, we didn't have to do any of this, but it sure looks nice. It looks like he's our Father. It looks like Yeshua's death meant something. It looks to me like it should look.
Yeah.
And guess what? You have people that visit and people that go. You got to show. What if all this? I've never seen this. It's got to be that wild moment. You might get one chance with them.
Hallelujah.
And you got to make it count.
Yeah.
I can't wait. To this hoop is up on Goshen Land.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
It's going to just be spectacular. Why? Because Shavuot is an invasion of set apartness. Heaven comes down and earth cannot remain casual. We got to get out of that mindset of being casual. It does matter. You say, well, should I dress up? I think, why not?
Yes.
I used to dress up for a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Why not? You just got invited to his wedding.
Hallelujah.
And you have full participation. You're not going to go in there casual. You're just not going to do it. You're going to say, you know what? This matters to me. And even if it's your friend, you're going to go all out for your friend. What about him? Should it matter to us? It should.
Amen.
It should matter.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm just seeing what I can live with cutting out here.
Yeah.
Really none of it. Ruth is read at Shavuot because it is the harvest book. But it's more than agricultural background. Ruth is Shavuot in story form. Ruth is a Moabite. She comes from outside. She has grief in her past, barrenness in her story, and no natural claim to Israel's inheritance.
Yes.
None.
Right.
Nor did you.
Hallelujah.
But thanks be to the Most High. He sent his lamb.
Hallelujah.
Took me out and delivered me and brought me here where I have an inheritance. Until you are Shavuot, you have no inheritance.
Hallelujah.
So I come to sign the paper. I come to sign up, put my name there. You know, people get married and you sign the papers after.
Yes.
And you got to send them off to the clerk of court so they can record it. They're not interested in the flowers you had. They don't care about your life. They don't care about your hoopah. They want that signature.
Yes.
Let me tell you, God wants the signature.
Hallelujah.
He wants the signature. He wants to know that you mean what you say and you're going to do what you say.
Yes.
And is that okay that God wants the signature?
Yes, it is.
Is it too far reaching that we have to sign up? You mean I got to sign up? Yeah, it ought to matter. It ought to matter to you. And so, start planning. I always tell people after every feast, you got a year to get ready for the next one.
Yes.
So, there'll be no excuse. But they come up on Sunday, it's like, there they are. And you go, man, I don't know if I'm ready. We have to take it more serious. You know what she did? She clings to Naomi. And says, your people are my people. Your Elohim is my Elohim. That statement is covenant language. Notice what Ruth says. That statement is covenant language. That's Ruth 1, Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17. Then Ruth enters what? Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem is the house of what?
Bread.
I mean, there's no denying you entered the house of bread today.
Yes.
No denying it. We made certain of that. You know, you walk the streets of Jerusalem. I was watching just kind of a live shot of the marketplace. And there's bread bakers all over the streets of Jerusalem. All over. Yeah. There's no mistake that you get bread, it's all over the place. Well, you know, you're going to get bread today. You don't want to know what we're eating?
Bread.
She enters Bethlehem, the house of bread, at harvest time. She gleans in the field of Boaz, Ruth 2, 1 through 3. Boaz notices her, protects her, feeds her, covers her, redeems her, and brings a lineage that leads to David and ultimately to Yeshua.
Yes,
right. But notice all the things, and you know, Yeshua is not Boaz.
Hallelujah.
What did he do? What did he tell you what he did? He notices us, protects us, feeds us, covers us, redeems us, and brings us into the living right on the seat of Dawu.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how you can get better than that. So our excuses of where we grew up, where we got educated, none of that matters to God. He says, no, when you meet Yeshua, he takes you to this spot right here. What matters to God is that you make a covenant vow to him. That's why he puts such strong language on vow. It's better to never vow a vow than to vow one and break it. And so people say, well, I'm not vowing no vow. What's your intention? If your intention is to break it, then you got some problem. But if you're not intentionally going to break it, you have no problem. Vow to vow. It's like getting there. You stand there and say, do you take this woman? Oh, I don't know. I ain't getting into that. I'm not making no commitment. I mean, the preacher's going to say, well, the boy, sit down. Who wants to marry this lady?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You know, you can't. Oh, man, I say that, Lord. Mama say it. Don't be a knucklehead. You know how embarrassing that would be to the woman standing there who got herself ready?
Mm-hmm.
She's dressed there. Her family's there. Her friends are there. And you would have said, nah, you know, I just can't make a commitment. I don't want to be, you know, because you have no intention to selling out.
Yeah.
And that's what people do. They kind of ride the fence, go to church every now and then, no intention of selling out.
Yeah.
But I thank God for all of you here today. You come here to sell out. You came here to get under the hoopah and say, God, I'm committed to you. This is what we see happening in our lives. So Ruth also teaches the proper posture of the nation. She does not come with arrogance. She comes with humility.
Hallelujah.
Our posture is important to God.
Yes.
She does not say, Naomi, become like Moab.
Mm-hmm.
She says, your people shall be my people. Your Elohim shall be my Elohim. That is the opposite of replacement theology.
Yeah.
This whole idea of replacement theology is ludicrous.
Say it. Come on. Say it.
You couldn't have read the Bible at all.
Come on. Not at all.
Because it starts in Genesis talking about a people. It ends in Revelation talking about the same people.
Yes, sir.
What part are you replacing? There's nothing to replace. And so the model doesn't show a replacement.
Right.
The model takes somebody who don't belong and makes them feel like they belong. That's gospel.
Yes.
That's real God. You don't have to replace something and say, well, I got the gospel. You know, you replace Israel with the church.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get the model and let the model tell us how to teach the renewed writings?
Right.
But people is very unlearned.
Right.
I was always distant from the time I started pastoring. There was always this distance. People stayed kind of away because I was adamant about studying. I was adamant about, if I got up, you got to know that I've been in the book at least an hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that created some distance. But I never let that distance bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there for nobody but him.
Yes.
And even in my not knowing fully, I was committed to him. Committed to what he called me to do, to pastor his people, to teach me how to go out and how to come in. I told God many times, how would I know if you don't teach me? I will never know.
Yes.
I remember telling him that often telling him that. And when we got back after Katrina, I walked up this side of the building. There was a big hole right here that blew out that whole section, went through that way. And I walked up there's a big crater in the levee there where the water had come over. It was just a big hole, debris everywhere. And I was done. I mean, I was like, the horse that broke his leg can't do nothing when he's a runner. Just might as well shoot him.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt. I was kicking around in the dirt up here, and Brother Eddie grabbed me and helped me get up in the balcony because the steps were gone and washed them away. Got up in the balcony, and I'm up there kicking around. And I'm just God. I don't know what to do. You know, if we were following, do what you call us to do, how can we build a brand new building? We spent every dime we had.
Yeah.
To only be here for a year. You know, you're so big, you just think it'd have jumped over us, but somehow you see we got to go through this.
Yes.
There got to be something bigger that I'm not seeing. I'm kicking a box. I kicked this box, and in that box was that VHS tape of that prophecy. When you look into my glory,
come on,
you'll be instantly changed. And I looked over here, we had a banner hanging about where that pad is, and it said the mercy seat. He said, I got you. And I fell in the balcony and just wept. Got up and walked out there, and God said, listen to me, son. Position's everything.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You don't give it up for nobody and for no reason.
Hallelujah.
You may not understand it all right now, but I'm telling you, if you want a ladder in your life, you got to do what I tell you to do. And he brought me to the text when Yaakov got to the place. He took a stone for a pillow.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Lord opens up the heavens and he sees this ladder in his life. And the angels are sitting in the descent, and Jehovah himself stood above.
Hallelujah.
And he said, that's where I'm at. If you want angels in your life going back and forth, delivering the message, you do what I tell you to do. Positions, everything. Because
yeah.
In my mind, it was done. I went to every yard for 30 families, and they didn't have a house one. They were gone.
Hallelujah.
I'm like, how you come back from this?
Hallelujah.
How you come back and fix, you know, what do? Where do you start?
Yes.
And the Lord said, you start one piece at a time. So my mom and my dad and Brother Eddie and Sister Kim, we drove from Baton Rouge. We got a wheelbarrow in a couple weeks. And I learned a long time ago, God don't have to tell me twice. You said one piece at a time, that's what we're doing. We got up at the front road, and we literally took one piece and put it in that wheelbarrow, and it was like, we'll never finish cleaning this place up.
Yeah.
I had a wheelbarrow, and I needed a whole series of 18-wheeler trucks with a backhoe to pick all this stuff up.
Yeah.
There was debris, some places 10 feet deep, debris. Couldn't even see the ground. Church house was destroyed. This top structure was still sound in this building, but it was a mess in here. And we're putting that stuff in that wheelbarrow, and where are we going to put it? On all the debris right there on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
There was no spot to put it.
Yeah.
So we wheelbarrowed and dumped it on the other side of the road. There was no traffic. There was no power. There was no nothing, no water. You finished, and then at the end, you took a bottle of water and you wiped yourself off because you was in it.
Yeah.
August, September, October, we was waiting for that spring that to come. We needed it to come to cool it off, and it was nasty down here. And God said, "You got to start one piece at a time." So we did. We just, you know, our faith was just raw as could be. Okay, one piece. With a wheelbarrow. Then my phone rang. Said, is this Pastor Jess? I said, yep. He said, you don't know me.
Come on.
But I know somebody who knows you. We have a brand new Bobcat with the grappling bucket on it. In Baton Rouge, come and get it. We want you to have it to get cleaned up. God is in covenant with us.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. But I had to make sure that I was in covenant with him so he can do it.
Yes.
Covenant matters.
Yes.
Your vow to God matters. And so this is where heaven and earth marry.
Hallelujah.
We have heaven's real. Heaven said it. You know, he said, and what did Yeshua say? But listen, don't get beside yourself. I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That connection has to happen until then. That's why nothing's happening. It matters what we say. In a pay vibe here, it matters. When your mouth opens up, you got to make sure that you connect in heaven and earth That connection has to happen. And here we are at Shavuot. What better time to talk about this and allow God to minister to our life in this wonderful time that we're in. Isn't he amazing?
Hallelujah.
So that's where I'll stop. I think, let me make sure I don't have anything else. I highlighted a bunch of stuff that I wanted to. Let me give you this last one. This is the last one. Today, Shavuot asks three questions. First, you have to stop at Passover. Are you thankful to be forgiven, but resistant to be informed?
Come on.
We're thankful for being forgiven, but we're resistant. Where do you get formed at Shavuot? He's forming you to be like him. How can I stand under the same hoop as the Most High?
Yes.
So I have to take my covering with me. I take my covering, our Master Yeshua, and now I stand with him without guilt, without any of that, because he forgave me of my trespasses. And he's walking with me, and I stand. So I can stand, and I don't want to resist being formed. Jehovah did not deliver you from bondage so you could wander without purpose.
Yes.
He brought you out to bring you to himself.
Yes.
We don't want to wander around without purpose.
Amen.
Second thing, is the Torah still inside of you only, or has the Ruach, is the Torah still outside of you only, or has the Ruach written the ways of Yehovah upon your hearts?
Yeah.
It is possible to admire the mountain and still resist the fire.
Hallelujah.
Don't just admire the scenery this morning and resist the fire, because the fire is what fixes us. It's what burns up the dross. It's what makes us more pure. It is possible to know the commandments and still withhold the heart. We don't just want to know about Shavuot, we want to commit our heart to it. It has to be a heart thing. Third thing, are you willing to become part of the harvest? The fire of Acts 2 is not given for private emotions only. It was given for witness.
Yeah.
Jehovah fills people so he can send people.
Well.
So if we don't want to be effective to the community, we're missing it. So your learning process is important, because when you're ready, he's going to send you out. It's going to be lights flashing, voices heard loud and clear. You're not going to be hesitant about your words. They're going to flow.
Thank you.
That's why it's important for you to know it. So when you engage with people, you can. It just comes, it flows. But knowing it is going to take dedication.
Right.
It's going to take giving up maybe a favorite program you like and saying, God, I got to spend time with you. If not, you're never going to get there.
Yeah.
So remember that. Are you willing to become part of the harvest? The fire of Acts 2 is not given for private emotion only. It was given for witness. Jehovah fills people so he can send people. So this was my thoughts, or some of my thoughts, rather, on this. And I pray that it's ministered to your heart as it did mine.
Yeah.
And so at this time, I'd like to ask all of you to come and join me up here.
Hallelujah.
Under the hoopah. We can squeeze in. We got enough to, if you get close by and hold an arm or something, it'll be fine. Because we want to make our prayer here. We want to make our vow before Yehovah. Just come on, squeeze in. It's fine. Get to touching folks.
Thank you, Father. I never felt so close to you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes.
We're going to have to make this hoop a bigger.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's good to us.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for today. We're honored.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
We're here because we want to be. We don't just want to have deliverance. We want to be in covenant. Father, we make a covenant with you today.
Thank you.
We thank you for giving us this opportunity to come during Shavuot.
Praise you,
Father. And vow vows to you.
Father.
We ask you, Father, right now to forgive us of anything.
Please.
Anything, Lord, that we might have said wrong, done wrong.
Please, Father.
That you would forgive us, Lord, that we walk before you, pure as you we can be. God, we cannot purify ourselves. We know it's the blood that's purifying us. It's sanctifying us. But it's these moments we can't forget. We don't want to give these moments up for nothing. You're dressing us. You're literally dressing us to stand beside you. We ask you, God, that we can, in some ways, set apart our lives as you're set apart. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these moments. I pray for each person that's here. God, that your hand will be upon their lives. God, that you will encourage them today. Let your word go forth in our lives, be sown on good ground, that it will bring forth fruit in its time. We just thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity. We'd like to say, God, there's none like you.
None, Father.
You deserve all the glory,
all
the praise, and all the honor. If it wouldn't be for you,
hallelujah,
to take us out of the Egypt that we were in, there would be no hope.
Yes.
But you sent your Lamb. John said, behold the Lamb of God,
hallelujah,
which takes away the sins of the world. We thank you for that Lamb, who was willing to be slain, and his blood put on the doorposts of our hearts, on the lintel. And God, now you brought us to Shavuot. You're teaching us something. We have to covenant, come into covenant with you. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this agreement. We thank you for this time. So Lord, today we vow vows to you. God, not in fear that we may break them, but that we'll keep them because it's worth keeping. We vow a vow to you today, Lord, that we're yours. We belong to you. We're not for anybody else. We belong to you. You're our God and we're your people.
Thank you.
We thank you for this time. We thank you for every person here. We pray your hand be upon their lives, God, that they'll renew these commitments daily in their lives, Lord, that we see the wonders of your glory. And God, now we leave from Shavuot, we have this pause, God, we're waiting. We're going to have to wait some time through the summer months. We pray, God, that you continue to keep your hand upon your people throughout this time. Lord, until we come to Yom Teruah, Lord, we pray that space between, God, that we'll grow stronger. We'll come more keen in our thinking toward what your word says. And God, we just open up our understanding to do what you've called us to do. We thank you for today. We pray your blessing over the bread today. We thank you, God, that you're the giver of the grain. Lord, you're the only one that provides for us, and we thank you for that provision.
Thank you.
We ask you, God, for the blessing over all the food that's been prepared. We ask to be a nourishment to our body that we can continue to do what you called us to do.
Thank you.
We love you for it and give you praise. In Yeshua's name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
I need a picture of that.
Hallelujah.